Hi, Ms. Hale. This is Aaliyah McCoy calling you for your interview. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Okay. Alrighty. So, I wanted to start out asking you some questions about your childhood. At what age did you start DJing?
DJing, the term DJing, I guess about 12 or 13.
Okay. How would you define it? Am I saying it right, I guess, for what you do? Like,
well, no, I don't know if I was calling it DJing.
Okay.
What I mean, but I was providing music and using it as entertainment for people to dance at a party.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That's so, I don't know if I was.
So that's kind of like being an MC, too.
Well, not talking. I wasn't a talker. Never been a talker. I never wanted to talk. So that's why, you know, as a mixer and playing music to entertain people, once I discovered that, that was exactly what I know I wanted to do. And that happened at 16, 17.
Okay.
Something like that.
So, let me ask you a little bit about what the music scene was like when you were growing up, and also what the gay scene was like when you were growing up. And I'm wondering, did you see something that was lacking that maybe you wanted to fill? Because I know you do activism efforts as well.
Well, not at that time. Although I came straight out of the gay bar playing.
Okay.
That's where my first jobs were, and it sounds funny, the straights discovered me there, introduced me to the rest of the city. That's where they found me, though. That's where I was.
That's really cool. So, with some of the gay bars closing, do you think that was good or bad for the community?
We're talking about a period of time.
Okay.
So, you talk about bad, so, you know, you have to be more specific, because we had more gay bars at the time that when I was coming up.
I should have rephrased it. I'm sorry. Let's say for
now, it's probably two different things. You know?
Yeah, I got you. Well, let me clarify to say with some of the recent closings of some of the places in the community that have closed, like how do you think that's affected things?
People, musically, or what? You know?
I would say in terms of like the political climate. I know that's kind of a loaded question. Just what have the effects been like? Is there a lack of where to meet to discuss issues now because of that? Just in any point that you want to touch on in terms of how it's affected is fine.
Well, this is what it was. You know, having a gay bar usually was somewhere outstanding that you can come and be yourself and do you, and you enjoy doing that without being judged or anything of that nature, and you know, you couldn't necessarily go to straight bar and be like that.
Yeah.
When in fact it was always happening in the straight bar, and so a lot of gays go to straight bars anyway. All straight bars hold gay parties, and it just kind of merged. And it's unfortunate that the gay people don't merge enough on their own establishments on those consistent basis.
Okay.
So therefore, the places don't stay. You know, all of my career, folks wanted me to open a bar, and I said, I'm not. I said, why? I said, because everybody, they're just too inconsistent. You can't afford to have a bar, call it gay, and then gay folks don't come.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing that exists right now. And it still exists right now. So the men and women, to me, they're breaking their neck trying to be like, you know, what's happening in the straight bars. And so now that it's so-called attempting to be accepted, but not really, it's nothing to be in any bar and see any same-sex couple doing whatever they want to.
Yeah.
It's not, you know. You know, they get a heckle, but it's like, and the reason why they're doing it, because they ain't got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And they're just going to hell with it. There's some French are not over.
So my questions are kind of going to go to a few different topics. this might be a good segue to ask you, what challenges have you faced as a woman creating art in the Detroit music community, or just in the music community in general, just being female?
All of the above. I mean, you know, everything that you can say is still the good old boys club. That's all that stuff still exists. So much that even the women are brainwashed to the fact that they feel like it should be a male. And all my life, and I will continue to persist on people being judged on their talent, their character, those things, because those things don't make those things, they make a difference.
Yeah.
And the gender of it is not what makes that difference.
Yeah. How have you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. You can ask me. Do the best I can.
It's already going good. I was going to say, in your opinion, how has the culture of music changed in Detroit? And for this specific period of time, like growing up till now, let's say like when you first got into music heavily till now, how do you think that Detroit has changed? I know there's been a lot of change, but what do you think has been maybe most significant or most poignant?
It's been dramatic, and it's unfortunate that the black young community hasn't embraced everything like the white young community has.
Can you elaborate a little bit? That's really interesting.
The black young community, straight and gay, do not necessarily embrace house music or techno.
Yeah.
It's hip-hop, and none but the hip-hop. And
yeah.
And that's it. And it's sad to me. It's not bad to embrace that, but why not embrace all?
Absolutely.
You know, that's my thing, and so that's what I find. You know, I could yet ever, and this is not just a Detroit thing, I see this in different cities, to have a room of 300 or 400 black, younger, dare straight, dancing hard to some house music.
Yeah. And it's fun.
It's just you know, I'm not talking about numbers, you know. You put on some hip-hop, it's over. It's
yeah.
Done. I mean, you can't even play. They run the house music completely up out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
So only time you have that vibe or that feeling, or you know, where people are really embracing it, they're older. Well, they were, you know, were at the time. And yes, the white kids, they get it, they're on it, and they like the hip hop too.
Mm-hmm.
They like both. So that's you know, that's the sad part to me, what has happened in the community, gay and straight, that are black, that they just don't embrace it. They're like, oh,
you mm-hmm. know.
I mean, you know, they know the old standby and standards, but you can't introduce them to new stuff. And, you know, the people that are grooving to it the hardest, they are over 40 that are black. And, you know, it breaks my heart. So now back in the day when we were playing the progressive music, you know, the effect was we were playing gay music because it was house, but it wasn't necessarily house. It was just more progressive.
Is that how you got the nickname, the godmother of house music? I was leading up to ask you that.
No, I'll tell you how that came along, but I didn't ask for it. Because I've been playing it for so long at first. That's
yeah.
why. And that's it. I mean, before anyone playing it mainstream, just doing it. You think back in the 80s or, yeah, I have to say 80s. The end of disco and the going into progressive, and folks' idea of identifying music as being house or dance, you know, it was that going through that change. It was the birth of techno happening then. All these things were happening at the same time. These are who our house hits are now. But however, this music was still called gay music.
Yeah.
But if you put that on in a straight club, that's, you know, what they called it. You know, I'm talking about a guy called Joe Blow Your House Down, Percolator, stuff that they all got it now.
Yeah.
You know, now it's cool, but it's still them same top 40 songs that, well, they are Ben Dada, all that was considered gay music.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, when it crossed over to the straights, now it's, oh no, you know, whereas you couldn't play nothing but funk and R&B for black straight people. You can play Move Your Body and stuff like that. And that's all go now, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah. Things have definitely changed a lot.
Yeah, so that same generation that decided to embrace that and not feel like they was being gay just because they liked house music, they still like house music, and that's who we have today, but they're all 40 and over, and it's like, hey, where are your 20-year-olds at? You know, in order for it to live, it's got to, you know, go down, but it didn't pass down, and hip-hop took over.
What do you think it would take to get it to be a little bit, you know, more mainstream or to strike up some interest? For today,
gotta,
you know.
Radio, I guess. It's got to be cool.
Okay, so it's the radio airplay, too.
No,
yeah.
It's like, you know, whatever it is. You know, everybody now, I mean, there's nobody in the world that's 20. I could even go back to 15, to 30, that would not know what trap music is.
Mm-hmm.
These are the type of things to step up in there. So what they've done is enhance the hip-hop and the rap and put crazy sounds to it, which are kind of mechanical, which is a little techno. And so they've merged that with a little bit of rap and stuff. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, it's dubstep kind of came in just before that, just so it could be the evil twin of whatever sound of music. And so dubstep did okay, but trap seemed to do better because it had that rap in it.
Yeah, because dub didn't last very long.
No. It was all very kind of, you know.
How do you think that electronic music... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's just me going off about it, going like, what the fuck is this, you know?
So what I was going to say is, how do you think electronic music from Detroit has influenced music in other places? Like, for example, in your travels, do you see, you know, like fans of Detroit music outside of, you know, maybe this community?
In Europe.
Oh, wow.
Not here.
Yeah.
Not here. You know, you have your pockets of people. There's pockets of people in Jersey, New York. And I'm thinking people of color. They grasp it out west, an Asian population. They're young. But again, as I said, black. That's what I'm referencing it. So these people of... Well, they're not Caucasian, but they're not African American based. They housing it down. They're getting it.
Yeah.
And they're playing and they're doing it. And I met these folks and I see it. I mean, you know, so they get it. They enjoy all music. This doesn't mean they don't know hip hop. It doesn't mean they don't like it. They just get it. Just these niggas here in Detroit. I'm just like, I could just shake my. But not just in Detroit. I've seen it in Atlanta, man. I saw this. I mean, you know, in Atlanta, Atlanta is gayer than San Francisco.
Yeah, I lived there for a few years.
So you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't hear no house there, did you?
I did not.
Exactly, and it is there. Mm-hmm. I went there 7 times this year, and I played. It's there, but that ain't, you know. We had white kids, and then your older black folks. But you didn't hear it there, so the numbers and the people are there, but nope. And I would go to the different parties and functions, and that's what you hear, and okay.
You know. So let me ask you this. When you were, I'm taking you back a little bit again. When you were a teenager, like again, when you maybe started getting into music, what inspired you? Like what artist in particular did you listen to? Did you enjoy?
It wasn't so much an artist. My brother was into music and components, and he loved jazz. He loved music. And so just typically looking at my older brother and I'd look at him and watch how the music would make him feel, and that's what really got my interest in it.
Oh, that's interesting, how it would make him feel.
And that's what 100% of music is about. No one really realizes that until you say that to them, because you think about that. And that's what music is designed to do. you hear something that makes you feel a certain way, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, million different feelings can be aroused inside of you by music. The same reason why, you know, it's a certain sound of music that make you relax.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain kind of music you listen to make you want to go work out. You know, you want to, like, make you, like, make it. You know, music has a story. Which brings me to some of the hip-hop and some of the subject matters and stuff that they're talking about. I think it's one that says Percocet.
Yeah, with Future.
Ain't that a drug?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and some haven't people OD'd off of it?
Yes, they have.
So they say that Percocet, and here comes the mother of a child that just OD'd off of some Percocet. How you think she feel?
Right.
How you think she should hear it? It's like, how does she feel?
And why is that allowed to be on the radio?
Well, even radio, but I mean, but just anybody playing it. Why is the DJ playing that? So here you are in the room, and you're jamming it. Oh, he's jamming it. And everybody's singing it, but here's, you're singing it because it makes you, what?
Exactly.
You like that beat. However, you know, listening to words of different things, it reminds you of something, and it could be negative, positive, or negative. It can be, and that's back to why I like house music, because most of the messages are positive. And they talk about, you know, good things, and so the music I play, it make you feel good. That's what it's designed to do. You know, I don't need nothing said. Cut a nigga's throat and suck my dog. You know what I mean?
Okay, so...
And it says all that.
Yes, it does. And they don't even bleep it out anymore.
There's no, yeah, everything go. It's just, it's crazy. What is this tank song? Fuck, oh, really? You want your 3-year-old rock around singing that?
Right.
It's
over the top.
They don't even know what they're talking about, but they're singing it like, what?
It's totally over the top. You're right.
No, that's on number one on the chart, and you can't tell me not one black teenager across this country don't know it. Every last one of them, they know it. That's the propaganda. And so kind of that is being actually fed to you to the government. They're like, oh, go on, let the niggas do it. Go on, kill yourself. And they are, and they did, and they will. So the FCC allows, you know, they make the laws. They put them out there. So, hey, you know, if you don't do it, all right, you can go to YouTube and get it. And okay, if you don't do that, you can go, you know, friends, it's open, available, just like drugs. Hey, just here.
Yeah.
And so it's sad. So I teach DJing and I speak
to my
students.
Yeah, tell me about that, please, because I was on your website. I was getting ready to ask you a little bit about that. Do you teach teenagers?
All ages.
Oh, wow. When?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind, this isn't about me.
You know, right. That's back when, you know, when it's time. But we talk about that. You know, the content of the music that you play, you never know who's listening.
Yeah.
How it's going to affect them. So, of course, I get teenagers or young 20s or something to come in, and they're playing this tape of some. My director won't allow them at all. And when I, with the kids, I won't let them play cuss music. But I said, look, I just, first thing I tell them, I said, I know you cuss. I ain't, you done heard cussing, they ain't words you ain't heard before. Just you and I ain't going to be in the room doing it because I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want to. You go on, take it home. Hey, you probably can cuss with your mama, but you're not doing it with me.
I respect that.
And you're going to, and you can play your records. I let them pick their music. I said, but you got to find the clean versions. You know, I can't make these people that are trying to learn how to do music, I can't make them play house music or something like that. And I wouldn't. It's like, hey. You know, I can expose it to them, and that's fine, but I won't let them be demonic like that with the language. Even my high school kids, they say, "Yeah, but that's what you." So, I was doing a high school, a DSA, and one of the girls, it was really smart. She was getting it, she's picking it up, and she's getting. She decided she was gonna say, "Fuck what I said, I'm playing the Dirty Virgin," and so the Virgin, you know, she when it was time for her to show her thing, and it's just going. And the record said something, and something. And I went, hold it. I shut it down. And then I just looked at him. I said, everybody's 16, 17, 18 with him. I said, so I guess it's okay to communicate in this order, and this is what you like, so I'm going to go there. All you punk-ass bitches, motherfucker. And I just started talking to him like, I said, that's what you like, ain't it? What, motherfucker? Did you say that? I mean, I just went raw off. They was on the floor. Dying. They were like, oh my God. I was like, well, you know, I ain't trying to be here, but I figured that's the only way you're going to live. You like to be talked to like that, bitch. What?
Right. I mean, because if you ask for respect.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. Oh, what? It's us, all right. Huh? That's what you want to be talking about? That's what you prefer? Okay, that's how we get down. What?
So to me, that sounds like a form of activism right there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, right on the ground floor with the teenagers, like, that's activism. That's activism for sure.
Let the adults talk to you like you want to talk about what you want to listen to music, and so let's use these words, and so we all together now. How does it feel? Don't feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel so good. I don't care who you are. But somebody's standing there calling you punk ass motherfucker. That don't feel good.
It doesn't. It
I mean,
doesn't
you know,
at all.
Friend or boyfriend kicking it where you can talk stuff. I mean, you know, and it because we do. And that's what I said. It ain't like I don't cuss. It's not like that. It's not, you know, I'm not no holy than thou person and things like that. But, you know, take it in perspective. Just take a look.
Exactly. So now I'm curious about Nyumba Muziki. Am I butchering the pronunciation?
No, you're saying it correctly.
Please tell me about that. So you have a live music band?
Do I have what then?
A live music band?
Yes.
Wow. That's really cool. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you guys have going on?
It actually formed by accident, but that's just me as a leader. I'm taking charge of stuff. I'm the assistant music director for Black Women Rock. You see that, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next because I know a little bit about Jessica Care Moore.
Okay, then, you know, her visionary, you know, she's in outer space too. She's really cool. I'm just going like, how do you know this people? But anyway, she pursued me 11 years ago to come and be a part of this, to be her DJ with it, and I could not figure out why. I mean, I thought it was all cool, but, you know, live band playing, and then you have these different singers come in, and, you know, we travel, which is just great. And, you know, I'm househead. That's what I've been, but I know other music, you know. And I had to check back at myself, and I actually came from jazz, fusion, and rock.
Yeah.
Punk. That was music that I learned in the 60s and the 70s. So I'm not ignorant to it. So to bring out my roots and my knowledge of that type of music and joining in with Jessica in a rock band, because I didn't know that she meant rock for real when I first came in. I'm going like, what is this music? I'm tripping, you know. What is it? I thought they meant like rock, you know, like, hey, rock, can you get down? You know, I thought it was going to be kind of real soul and stuff like that. But it turned out to be straight up. And I got to know some badass females that played. Oh, my God, they sing. And it's great. I mean, it's the shit. It just is. It's like,
So are they two different things?
Every concert. No, I'm trying to get to. I had to tell that story first.
I'm sorry.
So when we rehearse, so we're playing this music, and I have to write my own parts. Well, you know, rock music, you don't hear no scratching, and not that I'm a scratcher, but whatever a DJ is going to do to enhance the music, something in rock, it's a whole different thing than any other type of music. And because I understand theory, I realize that it's, I have to recreate it, and just the things that I come up with to add to these different artists' songs, because every time it's different music. It's not always the same, so it ain't no one thing. I have to create it, and the artists have to approve it or not. They might say, I don't want that, and I have to abide by it or come up with something else. But in any case, during rehearsal, and band take a break, and I was just tired of hearing rock music, so I just started banging some house in the middle of break. And a couple of people in the band joined in and started jamming with me. My mouth fell off. I went, huh? Because I'm thinking, I know they're classical players, but I'm thinking everybody hate house, in my mind. You know, I'm good with it. I don't care, you know. I'm like, oh. And they started jamming with me. I went, oh, what? And it was banging. I said, let me form a group. That's how Numa Musiki was formed.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That's exactly.
I'm glad that I waited to hear that story. That was better.
Yeah. So you know, that's how it came around. I came up with the name. And actually, a white guy gave me the name. Because I was like, oh, he said, oh, Numa Musiki. I went, what? He said, that means house music in Swahili.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I like that a lot.
So you work with both still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, I got another question. What about Girls Gone Vinyl? That was a documentary that you were in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that name. That's really cool. Was it about Detroit in particular?
No, it was just about women that play women DJs around the world.
Oh, that's really cool.
We film women all the way around the world. That's why I know about the Asian community kicking ass playing house music out west in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I mean, these bitches is bad. I mean, they're good. I'm blowing my head. You look at them and go like, uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Not Ling Ting Ching. Banging my head off. Good ass. I mean, you know, and loving it and the people taking it. That's what I'm... You know, it was couples. It was, you know, the women were... And so, of course, this group of women called the Housewives. There was about five of them. And they all got husbands. And the husbands play, too. So when I came out and filmed them, and the husbands, they could be at the party, but they couldn't play. They wasn't part of the, you know, part of the thing. So I interviewed them, all that. They played. I still have the footage and stuff and all of that. It was just really, 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 really good.
Okay, so I've had you on the phone for a while. I'm gonna try to ask you a few more quick things. These are some pretty good ones. What advice do you have to young women aspiring? I was gonna say DJs, but aspiring in music, period.
Well, they just aspiring music. My message is not just saying in music you have to inspire to, you know, that message holds true for whatever you're about.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's whatever you're about, because even though my thing is music, I wear so many hats of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many hats I have on. Between web designing, graphic designing, marketing, promotion, creating, making it.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
Advising.
Like,
each time it just goes, it just keeps going. And because of the part of the, that's the passion part of me loving the music, spuns off all these other things. You can't, because times change, everything changes. I don't care who, what, where you are, things change. Because what I was at 21 playing records, there was no such thing as a CD then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a whole generation that don't even know what a record is.
Yeah,
or
that's
even
true.
A 45 spindle, because it's obsolete now. I mean, you know, it's to pay attention to the world and change with it, or be a part of making it change.
Oh, I like that. Be a part of making it change.
Be a part of making it change, because it ain't gonna wait. You know, time ain't gonna keep it moving. It just keeps it moving, and which is part of why I enjoy teaching. Younger, the old ones, they're too stuck in their ways, and then they're a little hard hit. They don't grasp imagination as fast.
Mm.
You know, I have some that are older, they just don't grasp the imagination.
Oh, you got some good quotes.
I'm an anomaly where I do, even though like the stuff is coming at me so fast, and not that I know everything, but
embracing it.
I embrace it. And one of the best things that I, especially my high school students, I love to tell them, I said, I'm going to challenge, because, you know, at 16, you know everything, and mm-hmm. You look at this, and you don't know nothing. That I love those. I tear them up. I'd be like, really? I shut them down real fast by one assignment. They'd be like, oh, okay, I'm going to sit down and listen, because they don't, you know. I mean, we all were like that. You know, you think you know everything.
Oh, yeah, until you're about 25.
Yeah, you realize you don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. But, I tell them, I said, I am going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to the hill. But what I expect in return is for you to challenge me more. They're like, what? Fuck them up.
So could you have foreseen that your career would bloom like this? I mean, that's a weird question, kind of, but could you imagine, really, when you started out? And also, I'm going to piggyback off of that and say, if you weren't DJing, where would you see yourself? Again, take that word DJing with a grain of salt. I know you do a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's so many. Well, you know, the fact that I've always wanted to teach, I wanted to teach for a long time. And that's part of what I wanted to do. And so I've been teaching for the last 7 years.
Oh, wow.
About that, I've taught in some of the STEM schools. I've had to write the programs myself, what I'm teaching, you know, the different ages. Or I had to fine-tune it. So now I'm the head director of STEM Inc., not the director, the head teacher or whatever my title is. I'm not the director, you know. But I'm able to script it and write it and teach the teachers how to teach the kids. I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do.
That's awesome.
And by way, through music, you know, because that's our platform. I mean, we're not teaching algebra, although I love math. But because of the...
Well, music and math definitely intersect.
Well, it does, but the type of things that are coming out, is the stuff is coming out so fast that it's impossible to... Well, it depends on the mind to master it all. I mean, I have so many different pieces, type of equipment to teach with, but I have to learn it. I have to learn in order to teach it. So it's make me learn more and more, and that's why when I toss this stuff at them, I make them challenge me because it makes me learn more. They'll come up with something way out of somewhere out of space and say, well, I want to do A, B, C, D. And so, you know, my crazy brain is, I got to figure it out. And so I go through that process of me killing myself trying to figure it out. The second greatest thing to that is because, well, I'm thinking of when I do Girls Rock Detroit and that camp, and we keep raising the bar for what we learn. I always have a counselor in the room with me, and the counselor took all three of my DJ classes, who's a classic pianist, which nothing about playing no records or, you know, DJing. So she took my DJ class and all that, and also my production class. So when a subject matter or something like that comes up, I reinforce her teaching them how to remix it. It's another test for her to do that. I said, you make this, do this here, and do that. Sure, I can do it. I can do that. But I instruct her to do it and let them come up with the finished product. Give you an example. I'm always shocked by what records my girls pick. Well, sometimes. Well, I have two that really got me good. Because I'm looking at teenagers, and as I said, you know, they're hip-hop and pop, you know, something a little poppy. You know, being girls typically is how we do. You know, want to sing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have your Taylor Swift. I mean, you know, they exist. And she got millions and millions of followers, and that's why. So that's not to be, you can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get, you know, I always have them pick out their music and show them how to get it. I listen to it or whatever. I have a student that was a more international type person. She's born and raised here. And she picks out one of her songs or something. I said, my hair is like this. Oh, what's her name? My hair is black. My lips are long. Not Roberta Flack.
It sounds familiar. I can't think of the name.
Nina Simone. Okay?
Yes.
Imagine a 15-year-old picking out Nina Simone in her playlist.
Oh, wow.
Right. And the song is My Hair is Black. It's very Nina Simone-ish.
Yeah.
Song, and you know, very messagey, very.
She was something
ethnic,
else.
Very ethnic, very, you know. And then, you know, she has hip. She has other songs. She had some other songs that were world music, just different things, which I love it. You know, she embraced different things. I can send you the link on that of that particular performance.
Yeah.
Because they professionally videotaped that show.
And it's online. It's on my page somewhere. It's on my website, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So I had my conference. Did you come up with a beat? We're going to put that beat with her talking and make it do a role where she can mix into the next song. So you got to remix her song. And, you know, I help them get into the next one. That kind of stuff get me all the way off, all right?
That's, mm-hmm.
And sure, I could do it, but that's, you know, that's bad. I don't, my thing is to show others, you know, how to do it. Plus, I have other students to deal with where I ain't got time to be remixing her song.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she chose, selected that as one of her songs with the other things, I'm like, oh, wow. So I had another one. Both of these girls are doing very well right now. They're not 18. Her name is, God, I should know her. I'm just excited. I'm looking at both of their faces. And Olivia.
Okay.
And she named herself DJ Livalicious.
Oh, that's too cute.
It's great, you know, because I have them come up with names. And this girl... It's just unreal. She's 12. She's 6 foot already.
Jeez.
Right. Mama built her a website. Anyway, her favorite singer, just give me a minute. It's somebody like Sarah Vaughan. It's not Sarah Vaughan, though. But somebody out of that era, you know. It's
Billie Holiday?
Nope, not Billie Holiday.
Dinah Washington?
Nope, keep naming them. I'll come
well, I'm all out of them. That's all I know.
But
something with some depth sounds like.
Right. I'm just saying with, you know, something that came out of that era, you know. And I'm going like, what?
Like some real music.
You know, you took me fast, but this was, she selected the sauce. I'm not going to say, oh, no, you can't play that. It has to be, you know, I don't define it. I embrace it, but I'm just like. Oh my God!
So let me ask you two more things because this has been so great. Okay,
I want to tell them the story of where her doing this. So now I don't mind you. I just know the kids. I don't know their parents. I don't know nothing.
Yeah,
they're in class with me. You know, just doing Girls Like Child. I don't meet the parents until after their performance, and the parents will come and find me and say whatever. You know, they tell me, "How did you make my child come out of her shell? How did you, you know?" So whatever that type of impact of me giving them the confidence collectively with what else goes on in the camp, we bring these girls out. That's why I would not trade that for the world, because, you know, we're women, and, you know, at age 12, life is scary than hell.
Yes, it is.
I might be bleeding. Where do these titties come from? I still want to play with dolls, and why is this boy talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot.
It's like, a whole lot.
And then those that got tits teasing you because you ain't got none. All the things to go with.
Oh, and acne.
Oh, just the horror. I know
that. So they need something like this to empower them, and it's cool. So I'm sure that they love this. I have a 7-year-old daughter. Like, no sooner than she's old enough, I want her to participate.
Mm-hmm. Well, Girls Rock Detroit, they ages, you don't have to be that age to, for my class, you have to be at least 10 for me because it's too technical. But they actually teach the girls how to play an instrument. They break out in the band, and each, you know, the girls pick what they want to do, DJ. They do band, and one learns how to play piano, guitar, bass, drum, and sing.
That's awesome.
And you should just go to the site, Girls Rock Detroit, or go to the Facebook. You see it. Just the differences that we made in these little young girls' lives. It's just.
And then my final question for you is, you have a radio show too, right? Deep Space Radio?
I have two radio shows.
Wow. Okay, what's the other one?
Red Bull Radio.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm on every third Sunday from 2 to 4.
Okay.
But that's getting ready to change. It's the end of the year. They're rewriting the contracts.
Okay.
And so I've done that for a year and 3 months. That's what it was. That's what it's called, Generations.
Amazing.
And so what, that's why I'd be busy. And I was like, girl, I'm not trying to you know.
No, I totally understand.
I can't, but what, I came up with the concept. I said, you know, I've done radio and different things, and everybody can get on to play music and all that, but I'm just, here you go, reinventing the wheel again. It's me. I said, I got to be different, you know. So my producer helped me come up with the name, but it was my concept to bring someone future, someone from the past, to bridge the generation.
Oh, really? That's what that is?
That's what it is. So
I got to tell my mom about that. She would love that. That's really cool.
Someone young, someone old, or not old, but you know what I'm
saying. Is that one for Deep Space Radio?
No.
That's for Red Bull.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking because I'm just jotting down notes.
It's hard for you to keep up, see?
Yep. I'm sitting here jotting down notes like...
I thought you were recording.
I am. But I was just personally taking notes so I could look it up on the internet as soon as I get out of here.
Right. You do that. So I'm going to tell you. So Red Bull Radio, Generations. And you can click right on it and see it.
Yeah.
And go on there. You'll see some of the guests that I've had there.
Okay.
Last month was the first time that I was the only one that I didn't have a guest. It was the very first time I did it. I always had someone there. Sometimes two people, sometimes one. Because it gets hectic. You know, no, I pick unique people that are doing stuff. People that are doing stuff in Detroit. People that have the heartbeat of Detroit has something to do with it by some means. So you ain't got to be a DJ. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to be, because I had a club owner down there. It was deep rooted here. Mark Anderson. He owns the Bar Friends. I had him come down and talk about his bar and the people in Detroit, because it's connected by way of music as well.
Absolutely.
And you can tell stories that other people don't know.
And not everybody can be a musician, but everybody can help.
Yeah, and you know, and it's important. I had Jesse Corey down there, I think last month, a month before last. But he created all that art exhibit and did all that stuff in Eastern Market. I had Steve Ream and Tyler down there, who were two promoters. Little Bunny Hop Tyler, he's all of... He's not 30, but Steve Ream is every bit of 50. It's crazy. And so them, from perspective, you know, they write in the streets and work kind of underground, but they would talk about that. And then with Steve being a DJ, Tyler being a DJ, let him play. You know, I let them play out 30 minutes on the show. I brought my students on. I brought my students on one, two, three different times. But it
That's
was
cool.
My
what adult, a learning experience, too.
I had my teenagers. I had my director, so those were three different shows. You know, just different things. I just look at something and go, I think this would be interesting. So now, ironically, when most of the jocks that were on there, they were on there just playing, like, you know, do it. Why all of a sudden everybody started having guests?
Well, you know, everybody wants to be like you, so that's funny. Okay,
it's
I'm going to
okay.
go.
It's okay. I mean, I look at, you know, I was... You know,
I'm just teasing.
You know who DJ Holographics is?
I think I've heard of that name. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, but you know, she's cool. She's, you know, and I managed to make an impact on her 7 years ago. I didn't know it. I remember seeing her now. She said, no, I was with you, and she told me. I don't remember. I'm consistent.
Yeah.
But she said, yeah, so we just shot a movie together, her, Minx, and I. We just shot a movie. It'll be premiered in November.
Ms. Howe, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Like, wow.
It'll be premiering. It's a documentary. It'll be premiering during Movement in May.
Okay.
The director and stuff was out of England and all that. That was a bundle of fun, and directed with Jenny LaFemme.
That's cool.
From Girl, because she has the film company, so all that. That's been like all the... It's not my thing, but I've been busy working as Jenny's assistant on the side, helping her pull in black folk, because, you know, they wanted to go to Aretha Franklin's church. You know, them black people was looking at her crazy, so I had to go.
I bet. I can imagine.
The way stuff is.
Well, let me go ahead and end it off now because we're at 45, but can I call you outside of the call really quick? As soon as I end this, I just wanted to call you back really quick just to discuss the details.
Okay, this is it. I'm going to tell you one more thing.
Yeah, please.
This is it, and I'm going to send you an article they just did on me in Mixed Mag magazine. Did you see that?
I don't think I've seen that one. Is it on your, it's on the same page with your bio?
It's not. I just got a copy. I need to put it, I am going to put it on my website. See, and I don't want to be the designer, but whatever, I'm going to put it on. And I'm going to send you to that, to your phone number, the 213?
Yeah.
So you can see it. So that, and also I'm having a music conference October 10th, 2019 at Avalon Village called Sheometry. I'm done. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Okay, that's the dopest name ever. I'm about to call you right now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.